Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, help us to understand a little bit about what's going on out there with the distractions of Babylon and its fall. Some people are worried that it might not fall, but that's just not the facts according to the scriptures. Thank you, Lord. We're going to call this The Fall of Babylon. In this first revelation, Babylon dragon falling, Elena Timoshuk, 8:25-23. I was in my backyard standing on my pool deck and looked into my pool. There was a massive log from a tree in the water that stretched across the whole length of my pool. Well, I believe that Babylon's fall is over the pool of God's word that judges them. It's clear all through the scriptures that God said he would bring down Babylon. So God judged Babylon and it fell because of how they treated the saints. Just like our factious Satanists who are a part of it will fall and be destroyed. In shock, I looked up, and behind my pool deck was a massive tree stump. The width of the stump was also the length of my pool, and I knew that it used to be a very tall tree. Well, in Daniel, the stump didn't fall, but was preserved as a symbol for 7 years as a beast eating grass, representing the flesh of the saints. Amen. The flesh of the saints being devoured by the beast. That's what they normally do, right? I thought it's just not possible for this tree to fall like that and not crush our home in its fall. But I knew God protected us. And then my heart was filled with the fear of the Lord and I opened my eyes. Well, true, Father will protect his saints and set them free from Babylonish satanic bondage. And that was the end of her vision slash dream. But in Daniel, the tree was the leadership of Babylon, which fell when it was cut down for its pride, right? It is Satan, the dragon of Revelation 12, with his Satanist demons, even in the local coven, which is falling from heavenly dominion, cast down by the saints in Revelation 12. This vision reminded me, she said, of a dream I had when I was 9 or 10 years old. I dreamt I was in my mom's kitchen. I was looking out the window, and the sky was very dark gray with large dark gray clouds. I'm thinking dark gray probably represents death, approaching death, right? I saw sheep covered in blood, raining from the sky. Well, the falling away are losing their place in heaven because they are guilty of blood of the saints. So they were upside down. In other words, they were backwards to everything Christian. This is true. And falling to the ground. Then I saw the tallest tree I'd ever seen, and it was leaning over, almost touching the ground, and I exclaimed, "Mom, the tree is falling." Well, Babylon, the dragon who would devour the man-child and bride, will fall instead. Okay, in this next revelation, judgment on the anarchist left. This was given to Winnie Asageta, 11:17-21. Let me say that the anarchist left plan on destroying much in defense of the left who are losing power, and they don't care that it will be according to law and truth, for they never care about such things. Anarchists don't are lawless people, right? And so are Democrats, and so are leftists, but the alliance forces are planning to bring down these anarchists, and they believe they got a handle on them. They've even invaded them to know exactly what they're doing. So after 11 p.m. on the evening of the 16th, I was reading Ezekiel 32 for the morning prayer meeting, and I specifically received Ezekiel 32, 12 through 16. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall. The terrible of the nations are they all, and they shall bring to naught the pride of Egypt, and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside many waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters clear, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate and waste, a land destitute of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. Well, Egypt many times is a type of the world, and the world is about to become a wilderness. Okay. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament. The daughters of the nations shall lament therewith over Egypt, and over all her multitude shall they lament therewith, says the Lord. Well, many agree that Egypt is a type of the world, and we can see now that they're getting ready for this great world war that comes right after the man-child ministry starts in Revelation 6. I asked the Lord for a dream regarding this, and I went to sleep and had the following dream. I dreamt that I was at my aunt's apartment in New York, which is right across the hall of my mom's apartment. And there were two tabby cats there. One was a fluffy white and light gray striped tabby cat, and the other was an orange and white striped tabby cat. My mom, whom I think probably represents the apostate church here, not that she is, but that she's representing, had so many cats, and she needed help to get rid of some of them. Well, cats represent independent and self-willed natures, and definitely apostate church is full of that. And it's ruined their witness, it's leavened them down, and they are useless. I pleaded with Chuck for him to allow me to take one of these cats back home, and he said that he would need a shovel, and so my mom gave him a large shovel, I guess to pick up that which the cat left behind, right? My aunt wanted to remain with the orange and white tabby cat, so I decided that I would take the white and gray and one back home with us, and we did. Well, I would say, take no cats from the apostate church or Christianity. Take no cats. My aunt was preparing for her death and told me to come get her from her place anything I wanted or have a need of. In real life, the doctors have given her the bad report and said that they would not be able to operate on her, as her veins in her hands were breaking, and that she should spend time with her family, as they do not believe she has much longer to live. However, I am believing different for her. She does not know the Lord yet, but she will. Amen. So the scene changed, and I was watching a YouTube video on my phone of this young Christian woman named Janice, whose videos I watch sometimes, sharing a testimony. The visuals on her video were so beautiful and realistic that it almost felt like I was in the video watching in real time. The name Janice means God is gracious. I saw scenes of a beautiful mountain and lake, as well as a dock to jump into the lake in some of the scenes. Over some of the visuals, there was pink coloring and sketching, as well as a white outline that digital artists and designers call a stroke. The video was very unique, and creative and something I had not seen before. Janice began to share the testimony of another girl who treated her unkindly. And instead of returning evil for evil, she had a lot of grace towards the girl who mistreated her. Well, cats are famous for anarchy, and anarchists especially don't like Christians. And when she was sharing this part of her testimony, I could see a desk and a notebook in a classroom setting, and it was so close, it was almost like I was sitting there. The notebook had writing that I do not recall, but perhaps it was regarding this testimony Janice was sharing, and I vaguely remember the word grace being on the notebook. I remember thinking her testimony was amazing, worded beautifully and full of wisdom, so I took heed. Well, we know that true Christians give grace to rebels, but what's going on out there in the world is the Media Persian Empire, a type of it anyway, is conquering these Babylonians and bringing them to justice, right? The world, God lets the world handle the justice, and we offer them grace, right? So Janice knew that God is the one who takes care of everything, so let him do it, right? So there is no need to return evil for evil. And she then said, look what happened to Minnesota. Regarding the judgment that had come there because of people like the young woman who mistreated her. And when she said this, I saw a visual of a cup falling over and spilling from right to left. The cup had kind of the shape of a bottle you might use to mix different liquids or chemicals in a chemistry class. Then in the video, Janice mentioned helping others and cats by rehoming the cats. To find another house for this, right? And it made me think of the cat that I brought home from my mom's house. And I felt that is what I needed to do as well. I really wanted to help my mom, but I realized I cannot keep the cat myself. Well, we need none of the rebellion in the apostate church. We don't need to take it home with us at all. And then I woke up regarding my mom and the cats. I thought of the verse, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So when I woke up, I wondered, why would the judgment come upon Minnesota? As it is such a random state and not one of the sin cities. However, when I looked up Minnesota news, I saw and then remembered that Minneapolis, Minnesota, is the epicenter and catalyst of the major BLM movement that happened in 2020 after the George Floyd incident. I believe they represent the far left who have caused so much damage with their rioting and faction and just plain wickedness, which the communist left used for their political gain. Well, Satanists and communists are always anarchists and will do their best to stop this revival in government and church, but they're going to fall, clearly. I believe it is just a representation, she said, of the judgment coming to them, and not necessarily about Minnesota itself, although it could be that as well. There was an instance where a wall that had a George Floyd mural was destroyed by lightning, so it was very clear that God is not pleased with this. I asked the Lord for a chapter regarding this dream and received Psalm 1:1-6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. Now we know anarchists are against all law. They break all laws, just like Satanists do. They break all laws of man and factious people, all laws of man and God. And they do it with impunity, they think. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Yes, we can see that God has driven the factious out of our midst, so we can be a holy body. But they don't just go out. They go out and persecute you the rest of their life if they can. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And if we do not want to be judged with Egypt and the wicked, we can't partake of any of their ways. Don't take their cats home. So here's something very similar. It's America shaking coming. And this is from Prophet Ken Dewey, 8:22-23. And Missy sent this to me. She said, this reminds me of the word given to Ken about a D.C. shaking, and that no one will come out from under the rubble that the Lord doesn't want in the new government. And I believe, if I'm correct, this also parallels with the faction against our ministry being judged. True, I believe that too. So this was an interpretation of the tongues. We won't give the tongues, we'll just give the interpretation. I am moving them around, and they will not be able to tell what they are doing, nor will they fully understand until they open their eyes, only to see that they fell down and have lost their positions. Yes, that's happening to, the deep state in the government and the deep state in the church. Don't you know that they do not know, even now, which road to take? No, they don't have any rules. For they are truly confused as to what step to take next. I am walking through them, and they cannot stand. Their stupidity has gone to seed, and they walk as dead men walking. Nor do they know in which way to turn, for their intended confusion is now theirs. Watch them fall down hard. Hitherto I have led them, even in the darkness, where they think that they are masters in walking. I am not blind at night, for I see the same as in the daytime and night. They cannot hide their sins from me, for I see them all. Yes, they act like there is no God in control up there, and he does not see them. What they do in darkness is disgusting. I will pass over my people, and they will be safe. But those who are not mine, they will be shown the harsh life that they have so prescribed upon others. Yes, we can see that on them. It will come back as a boomerang and hit them in the head. Watch them stumble and watch them fall. Well, what the Lord is saying is they will now reap what they have sown. All the curses that they've sent against the righteous are going to come back on them. So basically their curses come out of their own mouth. The ground beneath many feet will be unstable, and as you shake, you will all strive for safety. But for many, it will be too late, for they have wasted their days and have not prepared for the immediate days following me. How do you prepare? Following the Lord. Walking with the Lord, right? And he goes on to say, I am that I am, and beside me there is no other. He said for me to add these scriptures, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. Well, just as the factious Satanist perverts have tried to do in our day. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. That was the angels, right? Mm-hmm. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Well, they're a bunch of perverts, you know, and they're not going to have their way with the righteous. That's Genesis 19, 9 through 11. And as you know, Lot escaped, and the perverts in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. As the dragon falls, so go the Satanists, right? I have written what I heard said, and I did obey. I was thinking about those in the government of this land of America and heard the above words. Okay. And here's another one by Ken called Death Angels, Stop Angels. Mm-hmm. August 26, 2023. I began to hear the following words a year ago, and this morning I heard the Lord speaking more about how he would bring a new day in this nation of America. He has said that much will change, and there will be a very hard time coming. Yep, we know about it. But the Lord will bring America, in part, to a new beginning. Yes. The fall of the Babylonish lawless dragon and the rise of the new order, I believe, is being spoken of here. A new day in this nation of America. He was not talking about the second coming of Christ, nor was he talking about the tribulation days coming or the coming of the Antichrist, nor was he talking about a worldwide judgment, but a coming judgment upon America. He was not talking about a catching away. What he was talking about was judging and changing this nation, that a new day would come, a day of great light and blessing upon his people who know him. But the evil men will be stopped, and many will even die. He talked about the present condition of the government and evil men in America. And here's what he said. I am, in these coming days, doing a work that I must work before things happen in America. This one work will cause many to fall down, out of the way, for the coming of a new day in this nation. When he says out of the way, it's those that are hindering the gospel. We know them, right? The present will suddenly perish. One thing they cannot control is death, for it walks this land, and even as the firstborn in Egypt died, so will it happen again, but not my firstborn, right? But all who have my mark upon them will suddenly fall down. That's the evil mark, right? I have been marking them who will fall. They have an evil mark, and I put it there upon them. Well, we discovered that the mark in the forehead and the hand represent the mind and works of the flesh. A person who walks after the flesh must die, the Bible says. But my people have a good mark that I only can see, and the angels. I will send my ministers, or angels, with a destroying weapon in their hands, and they will smite all who have the evil mark. I will pass over all who have my good mark upon them. Whoa. So that's representing the mind and works of Christ, right? The good mark. Right? Some may say death angels, but what I say is stop angels. For it is mostly that I will suddenly stop them in their tracks. Yep, I think this is coming momentarily. And they will turn and run in fear of what they cannot see. Panic will break out. Great fear will grip their souls. And cry they will, for they do see, but do not see, understand, but do not understand. They will only fear, for fear does fear the unknown. My people will only watch them fall all around them, watch them run away. Well, we just recently had a dream just like this about the Satanists who planned to sacrifice our sister in their perverted way, and they took off running for some unknown reason. Shame them? Yes, I will cast great shame for what they do and plan to do, and they will dread the final end. They will shake in the knees and fear for what they will see. Me, I will walk among them. I have hidden myself in the clouds, but I will cause a great wind to blow away the clouds, and suddenly with their eyes will they see me, the very one that they thought did not exist. So their Lord Satan will not save them, obviously. Like a great wall of refreshing water will come across America, and when it passes over, all will be green and growing, and the desert will bloom, and the vacant land will no longer be undesirable. Well, I believe the water of the Word will be sent through the man-child and bride ministries, bearing much fruit. Many will rush to do great exploits. For many that were not marked for evil will see in new light, suddenly awakening, and they will see with new eyes. Hang on, the ride will be rough, but the way will be clear. A time of mourning. They will reap what they planned, for I am tired of them planning to destroy my people and my land. So God will judge those who have persecuted his saints, especially the Satanist and the factionist people, right? That they have without ceasing, constantly persecuted and tried to send witchcraft against God's people. The scripture, he said, is compare this event and liken it in part to Ezekiel 9. Go read that chapter to understand. I have posted this word in obedience to my Lord. It is his word, and I am only the prophet to speak it and to write it down. And he called this, the wicked are slain. Ezekiel 9, 1 through 11. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem, of course, represents the apostate leadership at this particular time, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. So that's the righteous who are grieved at the evil that they see in what they think is the church, right? So to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And he's talking about the good mark, the Passover of God's righteous. All right. and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said unto them, defile the temple, and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face, and cried out, and said, ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? Well, this is, again, the apostate leadership of the people. No, the righteous, he's never going to do that because they don't have the mark of the beast on them, right? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. Yes, they are. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eye will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. This is a judgment, I believe, that is coming quickly. Just then the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you commanded me. Okay. Well, yes, it's a time to depart from iniquity, and God sees all. Remember. Okay. In this next one we call Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. It actually was the title Dana Coverstone gave to this on 7/21/23. This dream began with me standing on a very quiet corner in a large city with a Jumbotron-type monitor. So think Times Square in New York, on the monitor streaming the news and the latest stock numbers on the side of the downtown building. It was very early in the morning, and the sun was up, and the sun was out with no clouds, and there were a few people out walking, but they were all holding umbrellas, even though it was a full sunny day. It was nice weather, and everybody had an umbrella out. Well, the umbrellas could represent man's means to hide from the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N. You know how when you try to talk to people and you know their need spiritually, they don't want to hear it. They want to hide from the sun because it's against their life and they don't want to give up their life. Now, just behind me was a city newspaper stand, and when I say a city newspaper stand, I think New York City or Chicago with the wooden doors that open where they sell newspapers and magazines on racks and all the sundries. And they were selling candy and cigarettes, gum and mints, and things like that. And then the owner walked out towards the edge of the road, and he stood beside the side of the road. And that's also where I was standing, by the road, just watching. And he came and he stood beside me. He was also carrying an umbrella, and it was open as if it was raining. So he has the umbrella beside him, and it's early in the morning. Well, early morning could represent the timing that where we are now, early on the morning of the third day, right? He was standing beside me on the edge of the road, and he said to me, can you believe how bad the world is getting and how little the government is doing to fix it? So, the general population of the world relies on the government for everything and expects them to solve the problems. That's kind of like idolatry, isn't it? Not knowing that they are behind the causes. And the people are receiving a government that they deserve. Yeah. And I simply said, as I looked at him, my faith is in the Lord. I spoke normally, just very casually, and with no emphasis, just my faith is in the Lord. And then he got in front of me and held the umbrella cradled into his neck, and he grabbed my shoulders with both hands, and he said, "Keep your eyes on what we tell you, no matter how bad it gets." Well, the dumbed down deep state mainstream media manipulation and Project Mockingbird deception is what's working out there to bring people to delusion and dumbing them down, talking about things that don't matter and not talking about things that do. And then he said, "And ask your Lord for better weather then, because we're tired of the rain." And as he peeked out from under the umbrella and looked up into the sky and then took it back, well, the rain was coming from up in the sky where the sun is, right? This could represent the judgments of God falling on the wicked for their works, and that they're now reaping what they have sown. Ezekiel 38:22-23 says, "And with pestilence and with blood will I enter into judgment with him, and I will rain upon him and upon his hordes and upon the many peoples that are with him an overflowing shower and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. And I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will make myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." Well, Psalm 11:6 says, "Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup." Not particularly talking about the brimstone so much, but as the fact that judgment is coming from the sky like rain, right? Okay, my first thought was, it's not raining. Why do you have the umbrella? And he says, "You know, because they're tired of the rain." It's true, they're tired of the judgment. They don't want to hear about it, so on and so forth. So he's actually just trying to fit in with the rest by complaining of the judgments that they so richly deserved. At that moment, a box truck came around the corner, and the guy ran over about 10 feet from me and just a couple of feet from the edge of the road to get it. And he stood right beside this big puddle. It was big, and it looked like a very wet puddle. And as the truck was moving around the corner, a side door opened, and a guy was standing there with a huge bundle that to me looked like a square hay bale at first. And if you ever grew up in Midwest, you know what a square hay bale looks like. He said, "Yeah, I moved plenty of those for my grandfather when I was a kid," right? Well, hay bales are a rectangle shape. Hay is dried grasses and other foliage representing flesh. According to Peter's "all flesh is as grass" statement. And this hay is for feeding the beasts. It looked like hay to him because they are feeding the masses what their flesh wants to hear. So, and he threw it in the air with great strength, and the truck was moving. It seemed like he was struggling to get it there, but he threw it to the curb, and it landed right in the middle of that big puddle. And I realized then that this was a bundled stack of newspapers like they used to throw on the corner, and the newspaper guy would get them in their stands. And it landed in that big puddle, and it splashed the guy that was standing there with this red substance. It looked like blood. So the square hay bale of newspapers lands in this big puddle. and it just throws this red colored substance everywhere. And my thought is the mainstream media is guilty of blood for their cover ups of the crimes against Americans, and they will soon pay. Now, my shirt and pants became covered in this red substance, and I took out a handkerchief. Now, look, folks, I have never used a handkerchief in my life, so that stood out to me in the dream. But I took this handkerchief out, and I cleaned myself off. I even went over to this cement-based water fountain, and I got this handkerchief wet with water, and I'm wiping off my shirt. I'm leaving wet spots on me as I'm wiping off this red substance that looks like blood because I felt I had to get it off of me quickly. I guess what I thought was I've got to get this stuff off of me quickly before it stains. Well, we don't want to be guilty of blood, do we, right? We speak the truth, not what the mainstream media and the distractions out there say. And we don't want to spend time on the distractions to fill our mind with all that garbage. You know, we want to spend time with the truth. So we won't be guilty of blood. When we share the truth, we're not guilty of blood. And the newsstand guy walked right into the puddle. He just walked into it. So I saw it was deep. And it was big, and he walked into the puddle, grabbed the bail, and he headed for the newsstand. He walked back to the newsstand about 20 feet, and he was dripping this red substance like a trail. And when he gets back, he drops this big bundle of papers real heavy on the ground. He just throws it down violently. And all the wet stuff on it splashes onto his newspapers and his newsstand. It's just all over the place. So I walked over and asked him if he knew what the red stuff was on the papers, and which was now also all over his other paper goods. He looked at me like I was crazy and said, "What red stuff?" Well, they don't take credit for passing on lies to their unwitting victims, you know. And they don't see that they have blood on them. They don't read the Bible to find that out. And I pointed to the papers and the magazines, and he said, "Sir, are you okay? Or do you need some medical attention?" So those who speak the truth are deemed conspiracy theorists and who need a medical attention. Well, we know what medical attention gets people too, don't we? And I said, "The puddle the newspapers landed in splashed a red substance all over me and all over you." And he stepped back and he looked around and he said, "I don't see anything that looks red." Well, the news media should be reporting of all the deaths and the bloodshed their own deep state is guilty of, but they are guilty of blood because they don't tell people the truth. They're guilty of blood according to the scriptures. The mainstream media are false prophets and puppets used to deceive and to say everything is a conspiracy to cover up their involvement. He looked at me and I could see he was thinking. And I explained that I had cleaned it off of me, and I showed him the handkerchief that was now all splotchy red, covered with what had been on me. So we need to warn the people. As the Lord leads, of course, we need to warn the people. Ezekiel 3:18-21. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and He turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Right? Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and thou hast delivered thy soul. I recommended to a lady just yesterday, as a matter of fact, that she confess her sins and get ready for what's coming. Oh, I got back a blistering email. Yeah, but there's no blood on my hands. And he pointed his finger at me, just like he was looking down the barrel of his finger at me, and he said, "Head on down the road, or else you're going to start scaring my customers away." That's customers that don't want to hear the truth, and they don't want you to shake their little kingdom and their little place, you know. But you have to share it with them, right? Well, by this time I see that more people are walking by with umbrellas, and a few are picking up the paper goods and leaving money in a jar, and that jar is marked "The Declared Truth." So the mainstream media make known what they want people to perceive as truth according to their agenda, and deep state plans to depopulate the masses. So they cover up all of that. You know, they don't want people to see that, but they're not warning people. These people were also covered in the red substance, and they were also all oblivious to that. Well, the vast majority of people are in darkness and have been dumbed down by the deep state media, and they're in idolatry with the government and the false church leadership. The D-class of the 10 days will be directed at these people, which, as we see, are not willing to accept truth by far. So the success will yet be judged, but I guarantee you there are people who are not going to change their minds. The newspaper guy approached me again to ask how I was, and I noticed a button that he was wearing on his shirt, and it said, "If we don't say it, it ain't true." I asked him what that meant, and he shrugged and said, "If you can't figure it out, you're worse off than I thought." In other words, just go with the narrative and that we give you as the truth. Don't rebel against the media. And even the majority of Christianity is led by non-spirit-filled leadership who do not exhort people to search out the truth in the Bible for themselves so that they can be holy in the times to come, because they don't think they're going to be here anyway, right? I then saw on the back of his shirt a message that was spelled out in the splash marks of that red substance, and it said, "Shallow state is my place." So this represents the shallow news that strains out a gnat and swallows a camel, which means making small things big and big things small, because they want to manipulate you. And then suddenly there was gunfire in a car going down the road behind me, and there was shooting into the crowd. I noticed that nobody moved any faster, and nobody even looked at it. If you can imagine just driving down the road and there's a shooting on the sidewalk and nobody notices, nobody cares, and nobody's worried or concerned. That's what this was like. The dumbed-down America doesn't want to hear anything disturbing against their illegal government, and they are in denial of the spiritual death that is killing them. Now, there was a young guy on the ground close to me who was bleeding profusely, and I ran over to him and I told him to lay still because he had been shot. And I went to grab my phone, but he said that he was fine and would be late for a meeting. So he tried getting up, even though his leg was not working. Now the guy is covered in blood. He's got several bullet wounds, and it seems like he doesn't even know he's been shot. Well, he's been murdered by lies. Lies covered up the mass murder of people by vaccines, and they still won't tell you the truth. And they still want you to go and take more. They're murderers. The blood is on them. I tried to hold him down when another shot rang out, and he took another round in his chest. And I said, "Lay down, lay down. I'll help you." But he just kept trying to get up, and finally his body started to get really slow and weak, and he eventually dies right there while he was trying to get up. I laid him down, looked around, and noticed that nobody was taking cover. Now, we live in a country today where if there are gunshots, everybody turns their head, ducks down, and looks for a way to go and get out of the way. Well, nobody was moving in this dream, even the newspaper guy. I saw he'd been shot too, and he was limping around the newsstand. He was applying pressure to a gunshot wound in his gut area, but he wasn't panicking, and he wasn't saying, "Hey, help me." He was just going about his life with no concern for the fact that he'd been shot in the gut, which is not a good place to be shot. Spiritual death comes on because of a lot of the things that people say and a lot of the things that people listen to, right? And they're dying of a spiritual death just like the deep state they unwittingly worship. They don't know when they watch the mainstream media. That's what they're getting. Well, there were others on the ground dead too, but most of the people were just walking by and paying no attention to the hurt ones, and all the people walking by still had umbrellas out, but nobody was running or hiding. And I began to pray out loud in tongues in the dream, and I was watching people die. I was watching people bleeding, and nobody was concerned about what was happening, and it was hurtful. I was sobbing. I was weeping. I could feel the loss. It was a very empathetic dream, but nobody seemed to be taking anything seriously at all. They were just walking by the dead people. They took no cover from the gunmen, which, of course, were the news media assassins, right? Next, the Jumbotron started to count down, and at the bottom of that screen, it showed that the stock market was tanking quickly. And on the screen, there was a picture of the bulls on Wall Street and a video of people nonchalantly breaking windows. I mean, with no concern, just tapping on the windows, breaking them, throwing chairs, showing no emotion, no looks on their faces as they were doing this. Zombies, they're dead while they're living, right? There were tall buildings, and then people were jumping out of those tall buildings, and there were no screams or cries, no yelling. It was like there was no energy from these people at all. Others around them paid no attention as if it was not real or a joke. And then I saw a news anchor who was also covered in the red substance. She was in a newsroom, not out in the street, and she was sharing some video footage of things happening around the area of people being shot. people jumping from windows, and all of this. But as she spoke in a very slow monotone. So I will imitate what she did. She said, "Yes, people are dying, but don't worry about it, and don't hurry, because we know it's going to be all right. Trust us, because we know." And she literally said this. And with that, she gave this big thumbs up, and then she winked so hard it was almost like she would be injured doing so. I mean, she really exaggerated her wink very graphically, probably meaning this is really a joke and far from the truth, right? I then began looking around at people covered in the red substance, and they were everywhere. All of a sudden, the crowd around me on the streets of this big city or town, they're everywhere, but nobody seemed to actually see the chaos. There were people lying down, there were people jumping out of windows, but you did not hear yelling or screaming or crying. People are just going through the motions, and they seem to purposely ignore it. Well, the great harlot of Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints and of mankind. This is the most murderous regime that's ever lived on the face of the earth. They are like the Satanists who attack us, because they are Satanists too. They all belong to the head of the same dragon, right? And they're a murderous bunch. And God has been patient with them, and he's tested us with them and so on, but now he's going to judge them. Ezekiel 22, 1 through 13. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, And thou, son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Then cause her to know all her abominations. And thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, A city that sheddeth blood in the midst of her, that her time may come, and that maketh idols against herself to defile her. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and thou art defiled in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the nations, and a mocking to all the countries. Those that are near and those that are far from thee shall mock thee, thou infamous one and full of tumult. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one according to his power, have been in thee to shed blood." Yes, why is that? Because they haven't warned the wicked, as we just saw. In fact, they've told them just the opposite. "Don't worry about it. You're going to fly away. Don't worry about it." So down in verse 9, it says, "Slanderous men," that's the factious Satanists, "are famous for this. Slanderous men have been in thee to shed blood." Yes, they've turned people away from the gospel. They've raped women. They have sacrificed women, sacrificed their own children and families. And the Lord told me to declass them and do a good job. So I've been doing that, and I am guiltless of their blood, because it is coming now. What they have sown will be reaped. "And one hath committed abomination in," this is verse 11, "and one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee hath humbled his sister, his father's daughter," oh, there's one left out here, "molesting your own children." So clearly the factious Satanists have perverted lusts. "In thee have they taken bribes to shed blood." Yes, they want to be found guiltless, so they throw all their guilt at you, who are warning people, and they are not. Whose guilty of blood. Revelation 18 and 24. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. And then a man walked up to me and asked if I was all right, and I turned to see that it was the man that I always see. I didn't say anything. I just turned to him to look, and he said, I see it all, and I know it all, but many in the church see as much as these that you see in the streets. Too many in the body see nothing, and they see that on purpose. And I say to you to keep your eyes on the prize and be consistent in your discipline. He continued, they need to purchase salve for their eyes so that they can see and once seeing, get busy serving me in public. Revelation 3 and 15 says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Lord told me this speaks of spewing these people out of the body of Christ. Because thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It's easy to think you're a pretty good person if you don't read the Bible. If you read the Bible and repent, you can be a pretty good person. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments. White garments talk about good works, the works of Christ in you. And the gold represents the very nature of Christ in you. That thou mayest clothe thyself, that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. There's a lot of naked people out there. Yeah. And eye salve to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He continued, the blind are leading the blind into the ditch, and I cannot help them there, though I want to. See with my eyes all that needs to be seen, and refuse to see what they want you to. In other words, don't waste a lot of time on the distractions of the world in the media. It's blood. Okay? He then walked away. And so we've been warned about this before, to warn people, don't get distracted with these things that are deep state, you know, rooted. The apostate leaders are the hirelings, the false teachers and prophets without the spiritual gifts and discernment, and are leading the many astray. And many are like the church of Laodicea. They are lukewarm towards the Lord. God's people need to seek Him, seek righteousness and the truth. Put it in your heart, right? And Matthew 15 and 14. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. Amen. And I've gone over once again. So sorry. Well, Lord, thank you so much for this exhortation, Lord. Bless us to not be a part of this blood, and tell people around us, you know, the truth. And even if they scoff, at least the blood is not on your hands. Amen.